got a medical comment, by the way, on those. Not necessarily for the show, but on the taller toilets.
Yeah.
This is going to sound really stupid, but you want a step stool or something around as well.
Okay.
The problem with the taller toilets, and actually the problem with U.S. toilets in general, is that I don't know how to put this delicately. You don't void properly.
That recording.
Oh, we are.
See, you know, in nature, or even if you think about all the squat toilets in Europe.
Yeah. And Japan.
There's a reason for that. That's the actual natural position for the body for things to exit.
Yeah.
And the more upright you get, especially with the higher sitting toilets that are easy to, you know, sit down and get off of, the that goes out the channel is partially blocked. And it results in irritation and hemorrhoids and all kinds of complications in older people. But if you have a like a footstool or something around,
yeah,
and after you sit down, have it within in reach and you know of your feet, and just drag it under and just get your feet up on it, so it kind of brings your knees back up. Isn't this a wonderful subject? But it's a helpful hint because it's if you do even minimal research on the Book of Knowledge, it'll come screaming out at you.
Really,
it puts everything pretty much back into alignment. Now, Nothing replaces the actual squat. I could really get into medical detail on that. But even just getting your knees up a little bit by resting your feet on something makes things go along a lot better and reduces your chances of hemorrhoids and irritation and other issues.
Almost live. From across the USA, this is Late Night QRM! Your hosts tonight are Jash, Barry J, Barty, and Michael, the Virtual Youper. Tonight, Michael updates us on the Copper Dog 150. The kids are building robots. And Barack Obama declared Gun Salesman of the Year? All that and more on Late Night QRM! And now, digitally gathering at the plush QRM studios in southwest New Hampshire. Here's Jash, Barry J, Barty, and Michael! Hey everybody, welcome to Late Night QRM, show number 84 from the southwest corner of New Hampshire. I am Barry J.
And from the Tug Hill region of central New York, this is Barty.
And from one of the stops on the Copper Dog 150, I'm Michael, the Virtual Uber.
And Jash will be here momentarily. He's on Jash standard time. Oh, what are we going to do next week? Oh, God. Let's see. He's not going to be here until like 8 o'clock because we push the clocks forward an hour next week.
Well...
Yeah, because what 7 o'clock now? What 6 o'clock now? It'll be 7 o'clock. So, oh geez, we're in serious trouble. All right. So speaking of the Copper Dog 150, Michael.
Yeah.
Did you ever get? Did you get down there and get to watch it, or because you gave us a link to the official YouTube page, I guess, and
right.
And that was great.
The official webpage, and then they've got YouTube. They get YouTube sites, and they've got a FaceTube site and a Facebook site. So they've got quite a variety of stuff out there. They get videos, they've got galleries of pictures. It's been going on for a few years now, so there's a lot of history in the site.
Wow.
And pretty cool. I was there during some of the setup, and I saw a lot of the preparations here in town. Friday night during the launch, when all the mushers start out, I was actually sitting in the ski chalet with my wife, because my youngest son has got snowboarding lessons. So although we were probably about 10 miles away from the start at that point, but they get excellent internet broadband in the ski chalet. So the beginning of the sled dog race was the chute area, all of that was covered on a Google Hangout broadcast mode. So you could sit there and watch everything and listen. It's actually a better view than if you're standing there in the street watching it, because I've been there also. We had planned on going there, but my son was having so much fun snowboarding that by the time he got done, it was all over as far as the start, and then they were off on their way. And there were several stages. Again, you can see this on the site. They go 40 miles the first night to Eagle River, and I think the short racers stop at 40 miles. The rest of them go on to Eagle Harbor. And
is that a different race? Is that a different race, or is it just part of the race?
It's all the same race. Okay. The long race teams go first, and then the short race teams go last. They generally have the long race teams are 10 dog teams. I don't remember what the short race teams are, but I don't think they have 10 dogs in the sled. But it's all covered on a lot of ham radio operators volunteer at the checkpoints, so I was listening in the local repeaters. And also on the 800 megahertz trunking system up here is used, one of the safety frequencies. So I was following the progress. Normally I watch the launch, the chute launch out of Copper Harbor. But as we go down the list, my oldest son was in a robotics competition this weekend. And he got back at 3 a.m. this morning in Calumet. So I drove down there and got back here by about 4:30, and I really didn't feel like getting back up at 9 to watch the start of the race. But it's a big event. It went well. Everybody's glad. It's a great area for it, because there's a lot of sled dog races up in the UP, but this is one of the more remote areas, so there aren't that many road crossings. There's a lot of good volunteers that do handle the road crossings when they do have to occur, and just everybody has a good time.
Whoops.
That's Joel just cool. I think that's an awesome event.
Josh just said call him.
Oh no.
Okay, let me see if I can do it. It actually says add to call, so let's see what happens. Okay, we're trying. Oh,
hey, what's up?
Hey. We did it. We were successful.
No video.
I actually was able to add a person to the conversation with minimum problems.
Nice.
So far.
Yeah, we're in the middle of the show now.
Excellent. Glad to be late.
Well, I'm just glad you made it, Josh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, doing, my family dad duties.
You betcha.
Yes.
Can't argue with that.
Now we just started, Josh. We just covered the first item on the show notes if you're following along, right?
Yes, of course.
Of course,
because I haven't launched Safari yet. As I'm doing that now.
Well, I moved. Speaking of which, 3 a.m. Pickup in the morning. I moved that up to be the next topic, and I guess that would be the robotics.
Yes.
Thing too. I might as well move that one up too.
Event than I thought it was. I didn't realize this was nationwide. I'm coming up to speed on it really quick.
Oh, it started. It actually started in New Hampshire. Dean Kamen started it, and
I noticed. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Dean Kamen actually started it, and BAE Systems is a really big supporter of it.
Notice I said, and sponsored by someone you know.
Oh. Yeah, I think a couple of us know that company very well. But so I think they were happening all over the country this weekend.
Yes, they were, including several in New Hampshire, because I was following the results. They have FRC Spider, which is an app for both iOS and for Android. It allows you to track the different event locations and then track down the team that you're watching. And then also live, there's a website called Code Red Robotics, all one word, Code Red Robotics. And they do live streams from several of the competitions. So wow. I was able to grab the live stream out of Traverse City, Michigan, and watch my son's team compete live. So that was pretty cool. Chris and I sat down and watched the events unfold.
Yeah, we have some.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, we have several people at work that they actually give them a charge code to go out and then help with these. They do it on their own time, but they give them time in the afternoon to go work it too.
Cool.
So we've got several people even in my group. There's two or three people that are heavily involved with the robotics program.
Yeah, we have the same thing out here in Rome, New York. In fact, last year's Rome, New York team actually made it to the Nationals and competed in St. Louis.
Wow. Good.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That's neat. I mean, it's just amazing. You know, I'm surprised now. This has been going on for several years now. So any time now, we will be overtaken by the robotic overlords, because we certainly have trained enough young people to how to build them.
The builders of the Cylons will take us over.
Yeah, yeah, really.
Armageddon, bring in the cat. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So yeah, their nearest qualification place is about a 9-hour drive from here. So
wow.
The high school, in order to save money when they finished competing yesterday, just got on the bus and drove straight home instead of getting a hotel room. It winds up they get in Calumet. They three high schools share the bus so they can split up the cost.
Right.
But they wound up getting in Calumet at 3 a.m.
Jeez.
So, and I didn't know if they were going to be early or not, so I went to bed about 11 o'clock last night, got up at 1, and then just left. And I wound up sitting out in the parking lot for an hour. And as I'm doing it, no, it wasn't too bad. I was sitting there playing Temple Run 2 on my iPhone. The sequel to Temple Run.
That is kind of a fresh game, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. They just discovered that they had a sequel to it. So I'm having fun with that. And my son did call and say, hey, you know, we thought it was going to be 2:30. It's going to be about 3. And I'm like, oh, that's fine. But as I drove down there, it's an hour drive to the high school and back. As I'm driving down there and driving back, I'm looking at the temperature. I took Chris's truck, and I'm like, man, and I bet you the dog sled teams are glad they're not running tonight. Because it was a nice, you know, 10, 11 degrees here in the harbor last night.
Wow.
But once I get over the ridge, there's a 30-mile stretch from the covered road down to Calumet. It was 9 below.
Wow.
Damn. That's not wind chill. It was just 9 below. That wasn't even forecast last night. It was like, wow. Ooh, that would be a bitter one.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then coming back, as soon as I hit the covered road, which is, covered road is about 11 miles from Copper Harbor.
Okay.
And it's a real densely wooded area and trees overhead, hence the covered
name,
road.
Covered road.
And as soon as I hit it, it went from 9 below to a 9 above, an 18-degree shift.
Wow.
Damn.
Wow. That's amazing how any kind of, you know, life per se warms the place up a little bit.
It's life, and it's a ridge too.
Yeah,
there's the ridge facing Lake Superior and then the ridge away from it.
Okay,
so
this was
it makes a difference
too. Yeah, wow, jeez.
So anyhow, getting back at 4 in the morning and then getting my act together and sitting down and having a glass of Code Red, as we call it sometimes, and then settling down enough to go back to bed. I didn't feel like getting back up at 9 o'clock to watch the start of the race this morning. I just listened to it on the ham radio.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. I'll catch the highlight reel.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, there's plenty of videos out at the website. So, I mean, that website is awesome. I loved perusing it this morning.
Yeah, I like it too, because all the videos are kind of short, you know, so it's they're chunked up nice and nice, sizes, so you can.
And if you see some of the photography by Brockett Photography, they do an excellent job of covering the race.
Really? Okay.
If you go through some of their galleries,
I really miss dog sled racing since we left Alaska. My family and I used to go out there in Fairbanks and just watch it all the time. We used to have like a lot of local races, and you know, and of course they used to have the Yukon Quest We would alternately start in Fairbanks and end in the Yukon territories, and other in the opposite year it would start in Yukon and end in Fairbanks. Mm. It was always great to go down to watch the beginning or the end of those races downtown.
Yeah.
So, but just love watching, you know, that stuff. It's so exciting.
Yeah, and I was watching the beginning of the Copper Dog 150. They were showing them releasing the you know, they go have a countdown and go, and they yep. release the head lead dog, and they take off, and you can just tell by looking at those dogs, they love this. You know?
Yeah, they do.
They
love to run.
They love to run, and I mean, they just can't wait to get out on the road, you know, or on the trail. And yeah. It's just amazing that you know, it's fun for everybody, I guess, and the dogs eat it up.
And the conditions were perfect this year. It was cold. There was no slush. The trails are actually, I mean, they're freshly groomed, but almost a little bit on the icy side, enough so they could get a bite on the runners. But the dogs weren't having to fight wet snow, and it was cold, so they weren't overheating. The times were fast this year.
Wow. That's cool. Neat. So, well.
Yeah. It's really cool. It's
an exciting thing
some of these
watch.
Trails. Yeah, some of these trails come right along US 41, which is just, as I said, up here, it's just barren. I mean, it's lots of woods and stuff, but I can go from here to town sometimes and never see a car. And as I'm going back and forth, this is the first year I haven't been on medic duty during the race. But a lot of times I'd be going back and forth to the station, and you're going down 41, and all of a sudden you'd see all these bobbing, flashing red lights, and then a halogen headlight from their helmet as these dog sled teams come through the woods at night. It's really, really cool.
Oh, jeez.
That must be neat.
One of these years, I want to sit down with video some year and just catch them going by just as they go by.
That
with
would
the lights.
Be awesome.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, next year.
Yeah.
That's your mission.
That's okay. Your mission.
Hi ho. Kermit the Frog on Late Night QRM roaming reporter here.
Film at 11.
So, guess what happened on Friday?
Where's the bum ba bum?
You know what? I just thought about that. I need the dun dun on, dun. I don't have anything up here. Hey,
insert
Michael.
Sound effect here.
Yeah, really. That's exactly right.
I was gonna say, Michael, you got anything real quick? I could play it on something, but you guys wouldn't hear it. So, yeah, it's the knuckleheads in Washington. Didn't get along very well with each other, didn't learn how to play nicely, and so now sequester has started. And
you know what, though? I have an odd kind of conspiracy theory take on that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that either party honestly wanted to avoid this.
I think you're right.
I think they both wanted it to happen because we do need deficit reduction. We do need to cut our spending. And neither one of them were willing to discuss what was going to get cut. So yeah. By neither one of them doing anything,
it all gets cut.
Place unilaterally.
Yeah.
And we just move on. Because, you know, the whole thing was that we kept getting all this doom and gloom stuff for 2 or 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And now, in the 11th hour, they're saying, well, maybe it won't be so bad. Maybe we can get through this. And it's like, what the hell? You know? Make up your minds.
But don't,
is this going to screw us or isn't it?
Don't our taxes also go up to the pre-Bush era?
I don't know if there's any tax changes in this. It's mainly just a whole lot of cuts to spending.
I know there's a whole lot of cuts. That's something we probably should investigate because the original one, we were supposed to go back to the pre-Bush tax cut rates.
And they dodged that one.
Yeah, but...
Because the Republicans decided that they would allow tax increases to the rich.
Yeah.
Which was the whole big stumbling block the previous time they talked about it.
Right.
So they allowed that to happen.
Right.
And this time...
They were supposed to do deficit cutting.
Yes, and they could not agree on what cutting should occur.
Well, not only that, but our illustrious president...
The thing that bugs me is, like, the last time, there was incredible amount of discussion about it.
Yeah.
This time, it was pretty much almost like soundbite kind of discussions. It was like there was no really heavy discussion. It was just a whole lot of sound bites of each party pointing at the other. And even that was really kind of weak compared to the battle that we listened to the last time.
Right.
So it almost seems like if they had, the two of them had agreed to decide that we'll let this happen, but the Warriors were just going to sit here and just blame each other for it.
Yeah,
and even the blame game has been kind of lame compared to what it was the last time.
Yeah.
So it's like, what the hell? I really think that both parties decided to just go ahead and play nasty talk in the press, but let's just let all this happen because we do need to cut the deficit.
Yeah, but the problem is it is across the board. So that, and it may not be in the wisest of places, but...
No.
You know.
That's true. But I think they're probably going to compensate for it after the fact.
And there's a lot of scare talk going on, which is kind of crazy. And, you know, of course, the president went out and he had his little round that he was politicking again. He was campaigning again, but this time scaring everybody.
But in the last couple of days, he kind of like relaxed his rhetoric.
Well, that's because he realized he wasn't scaring the Republicans into doing anything. Because last round,
the Republicans want cuts.
Yeah, I know. Last time, the Republicans said, "Okay, we'll give you tax raise. We'll give you a raise in taxes, an increase in taxes for the rich. But when we come around again, then we got to talk about cuts." And then the president and his team were coming around this time and said, "Oh, no, we're not going to talk about cuts unless you raise taxes again." And it's like, come on. they already did that.
I think the whole thing was all a setup from the beginning.
It might be. You may be right. I started watching last night on Netflix. I started watching House of Cards. And I watched 3 episodes of the 13 episodes. And boy, I highly recommend that for anybody who wants to figure out what goes on in Washington. It's excellent. It really is kind of showing how they really work. So if you get if you have Netflix, go ahead and check out that Netflix show. It's in it. They put the entire season out to so you can watch it. And so far, 3 episodes in, it's got me hooked. And it just ticks you off even more.
Is that the series that Kevin Spacey's in?
Yes. Yes. And it's actually based on a British series called House of Cards. And Netflix also has that one. So after I watch this one, I may go back and watch the original one to see how close it is. Of course, 2 different types of government. So
really a parliamentary type as opposed to this broken crap we have. But you know, you can't complain about the government too much because we have the same people being reelected over and over and over again, and the population complains that Congress is crap. And it's like, you know, Congress is crap over and over and over again, but yet you keep putting the same damn dead bodies back in place.
Yep.
Why doesn't somebody get a clue and say, look, these people are not being effective. Let's get their dead asses out. Let's elect anybody but them.
Yeah, but is anybody else running? That's the problem. We need third party.
Somebody else running.
Yeah, we need.
I think we just need to vote enough incumbents out repeatedly for Congress to get the message that they have to be responsive to the population's desire before something. Any kind of a meaningful change will happen. Right now, they know they're going to get reelected, so they don't care what they do because the votes are there. Mm-hmm. It's been there. So what have they got to worry about? You know, it's not like they get an annual performance report and a performance analysis and, you know, where a boss tells them, well, you know, if you don't measure up anymore, we're not going to keep you around.
Yeah.
You know, they just do the same old shit and get reelected.
Yep.
So what have they got to worry about? I mean, their job security is to the max. We need a voting population that isn't afraid to vote out any incumbent that's been around for like 2 or 3 terms and say, look, nothing's changing. All of you guys are gone. Even if we're replacing you with worse people, we can replace them in the next election. But we're not keeping anybody around that's not being effective. If you don't get the job done, you're gone. Next election, if that guy doesn't get the job done, he's gone. you know? And we don't seem to have that kind of mentality. Somebody gets really popular, we get to like them and get to know their names, and we just keep reelecting them. You know, it's like that old joke, you know? What's the definition of insanity? Is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a new result. That's exactly what the voting population is doing. They're voting in the same old people over and over again and expecting a different result. Well, guess what? It's not going to change until you change the friggin' people in office. Whether they're good or bad, get them all out.
Yeah.
You know, you can always vote them back in later.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I don't know. I don't know whether we got enough intelligent people out there.
Congress is an inertia in the American people, you know? So, hey, Americans, wise up. Get rid of the people that are causing the inertia, and you'll get rid of the inertia.
Yep. Well, we'll see. We'll see next year, 2014, when we get to reelect the Congress.
Yeah, well, it's interesting that you bring that up, because I was watching Meet the Press this morning, and they were talking about that exact thing, that right now that Boehner and the Republicans and Obama and the Democrats are already posturing their policies for reelection and the whole overall election results in 2014. And, you know, it's like they're just playing politics. It's like this isn't even trying to do things for the benefit of the country anymore. It's like these two parties are doing whatever they can to benefit themselves.
Yep.
You know, we don't have enough parties in this country. We need like three, four, so that no two can
have a majority.
Accomplish that. Yeah. You know, push through.
It should be like what Europe does, where two or three parties have to get together and decide to work together in order to form a government.
I guess you can do that in a parliamentary system, but with the kind of system we have, you always, whenever you have a third or fourth party show up, you always have the primary two parties gaining on them. Like, why can't libertarians have a representation in the debates that we have on television?
Because they always pick lunatics to run.
They should have any say in it. The Democrats and the Republicans should have no say in who shows up for a debate.
I know.
You know?
Well, that's true. And it used to be, it's not even, the debates aren't even run by the League of Women Voters anymore. I think it was in 2008 they did away with them. They took it away from them. So, because both parties said, no, we need control over the debates.
So. I don't know if it's because I was raised in New Hampshire, but I don't have a belief in parties. You know, I am like totally independent and more candidate-centric than I am party-centric.
Well,
I don't think the Republican is the answer for anything, and the Democrats sure as hell haven't got an answer for one damn thing.
Yeah.
But neither one of those two parties should really be in control of this country.
Yeah.
Both of them are just out for their own interest.
And New Hampshire used to be quite independent, but they're not anymore.
Yeah, well, a lot of that went away.
Well, I remember when we first moved up here, you would see the local elections, people running for local offices and stuff, and you would never see a letter after their name. You didn't know what party they were with. And that stopped about 5 years later. All of a sudden, you were seeing who were the Republicans and who were the Democrats. It started, I guess it's, if you want to say it started to matter. But, well, all I know is our company is, and we got an email out from one of them, and they're preparing for the worst if they don't do anything. So, they're talking about, I saw one newspaper article that said potentially they could let go 10% of the workforce in the U.S.
Well, down in Norfolk at the Navy Yard, there was a... 3,500 people that got notices that told them that in a month they could be furloughed if the sequester happened, and so here it is.
Yeah.
So there's like 3,500 jobs that are going to be lost right away at Norfolk. And I was reading in the New York Times today where the I forget how they worded it, but they were talking about that how the whole Virginia area is having a sweet spot on the dole of the federal money.
Yeah,
that's going to get lost because one of the hardest hit areas will be all the jobs and money that's going into the various military bases and establishments all around Virginia.
Yeah,
because that's like a hotbed of military spending.
Oh, it is. I mean, all Northern Virginia practically lives off the government. I mean, I never worried about getting, you know, being laid off or anything when I lived down there because it was like, oh, laid off? Okay, I'll just go down the street, you know?
Yeah. That's going to change soon.
Yeah, that's we shall see if they do anything. But it has started, and of course, I think the planes are still in the air. I don't see long lines at the airport yet.
They said that was going to happen because I forget the number, but there was a large number of FAA employees that were going to be let go. And surprisingly, there's a whole lot of FDA people that are going to be gone. So food inspections are going to get a whole lot more spotty.
Mm.
So you have to start watching what the hell you eat now in a few months.
Well, you know, there's other places that they could target cuts, but it's interesting that they chose to pick the things that will be most noticed by the people.
Well, I think it's like a certain percentage across the board. Hmm. And some of those places, those percentages are more harmful than others, you know?
Well, we'll see. It started, so be prepared, people. I'll see what happens.
Yeah, okay. Get the Vaseline out and prepare to bend over.
So, with all the gun talk these days and potential of not being able to buy guns anymore.
I tell you, I forget where I was reading this, but this whole gun conversation has been an extreme boom to the gun industry.
Oh, yeah.
The amount of gun and ammunition sales have skyrocketed.
Oh, yeah,
It used to be there were people at work that routinely buy certain ammunition and things.
Yeah.
And they were telling me that they can't just walk into their local store and buy it off the shelf anymore because it's all back ordered.
Yeah.
You have to order this stuff in advance now because people are just like stocking up on guns and ammo and everything.
Yeah.
This is like local in, rural central New York here. I mean, you can't.
Oh, it's happening here too.
Off the shelf anymore. People are just like stocking up.
It's happening here. There's actually a group at work that they all kind of are pooled together, and they each make their calls and find out when ammunition's going to be in, when it's getting in, and they go and try to grab as much as they can, and then they all pool their money to get the stock up on ammunition, and to the point where there is a gun store in Merrimack, New Hampshire, who has a picture of the president on the window, and he has underneath Barack Obama, Firearms Salesman of the Year, on it.
It ought to be the picture of him shooting a shotgun. It's got skeet shooting.
All he has to do is start moving his lips about gun control, and the sales went through the roof.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah, Biden's the shotgun guy.
Here in New York, Governor Cuomo passed one of
the most
stringent gun laws in the state, in the U.S. Of any state.
It is the toughest gun control regulations and laws out of all the states in the United States is now in the state of New York.
Yeah.
And before that took effect, people emptied stores of all the guns that were going to be banned. I mean, it was like, within like 3 or 4 days, people were like taking out loans and whatever they could and just buying all this stuff up. And there are protests in Albany from a large number of groups about the whole friggin' law. They want the law overturned.
Well, and a lot of
there's a big outroar in the state about that.
A lot of the gun manufacturers that are located in New York are looking to move elsewhere.
Moving. A lot of them are looking hard at moving into New Hampshire.
Hmm. We'll take them. Well, so yeah, and yeah, it's just but when they hastily created these new laws in New York and passed them, they made a couple mistakes. One thing, it was illegal for police to have these weapons, and they had to change the law quickly for that. And, oh, yeah, they also found out that, oh, that even includes fake guns. They're not, you know, you can't use have fake guns. So Hollywood would have been affected. So they went in and made an exception for Hollywood, too, because, you know, they depend on all that money for all the shooting. You know, the Hollywood yeah, film shooting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So they changed it for Hollywood. So, yes, it's kind of interesting. But fear not, because if you feel like you can't get a gun, well, somebody on the internet has downloaded plans that you can print an actual gun with a 3D printer and put it together, and it's good for 600 rounds. And then you'll have to print yourself out another one. So... What's that?
Where do you get the parts to make it?
You print them.
You print them. A 3D printer.
You make it out of paper?
No. Plastic.
No, it's resin.
So yeah. It's a resin plastic, but yeah, exactly. Right. It spits it out in a resin, all the little pieces. You just put the pieces together, and it'll shoot.
I've never heard of one of those printers that would do something like
that. Oh, God. Man.
They're all over
the place
now.
They're all over the place. We have 3D printers at work.
Yeah,
the school where my oldest son goes to, the CAD department just built one from a kit.
Yeah.
And then they're using the kit to build updated parts for the printer.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's one you can buy for, I think, about $1,100. You can buy one for your home.
Well, that's probably why I haven't heard of it. I mean, when I hit that kind of a price level, I just kind of turn away.
Huh? Yeah. They're big. They're
well, compared
hot
to what those used to cost.
They used to be $10,000.
Well, yeah, for that price though, I can get a new lens for my Nikon. You know.
Well, yeah, it depends on what you're into.
Exactly.
I mean, they're really big at these maker fairs. Yeah, you know, people that create things. They're really into these printers now, and now there's even clubs where they pull their money and they buy one, and then you can go and use it at the club. So, you know, they're it's not $10,000 anymore like Josh said. It's $1,100. Yeah, you could create a club, you know, like a maker fair club or whatever.
You can build one for $300.
Actually, they have plans to build one. I think you can print one out. No.
One of the paramedics I work with, who is also a former NASA employee, interesting group of people at Mercy here, but he supported one of the Kickstarter routines that or Kickstarter initiatives to do a 3D printer. And they came through when he got the parts, and he got the initial printer going, and then he used the initial printer to build the upgraded parts for the printer. And I think he's got maybe $1,000 invested in it, and he's doing rather sophisticated geared clocks and everything else coming right out of this printer.
Wow,
that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, as they perfect these things, it's gonna do some interesting things for manufacturing. Somebody's actually trying to. I heard that they're starting to work on one where they could print out an electric car. You know, obviously, the engine part wouldn't be, but you know, all the body panels and things like that, and it would be interesting. Yeah, of course. I guess you could print your own Legos if you wanted to.
Well, that's one of them. Somebody was doing.
That might be a copyright infringement of some sort.
And the Legos expired.
Yeah. Oh, it has expired, Michael.
Yeah. The patent has now. The trademark hasn't. So the competitors can't call what they're building for their stuff Legos. But you can print, and you can actually manufacture and sell Lego compatible parts now.
Ah, just call them Pegos. You know, something different. So.
Yep.
Wow. Yep. So that's the latest rage, and I'm sure those printers are going to come down in price. They've already dropped somewhat in the past couple of years. So we'll see. Who knows, Barty? Maybe pretty soon they'll have one out for $200, and then you'll say, "Yeah, $200, I'll buy one."
and just like the inkjets, the printer's cheap, but the resin reels are going to cost you.
Yeah, that's true.
Ain't that the truth? You buy a $200 printer and it costs you $300 to keep the ink up.
Well, another thing. I've seen this product in demonstration mode, and apparently it's going to be released. I'm looking for the date here. They said it's called the Leap Motion Controller, and if you haven't seen this yet, it's a little rectangular box that you connect into your computer, and it's got two little lasers, I guess, on it that watch your hand, and you can use it as a controller, like a mouse. Well, I don't want to say like a mouse, but like a controller, but it's a 3D effect. And so you can sit there I know it works with the Mac because that's where I saw it demoed. I'm not sure if it's working with the other operating systems yet or not, but you just put it down there and then you can just like swipe your hand in front of your screen and it'll do whatever you just gesture. And you can move things around. It's kind of like a touchpad, but except for you don't have the touchpad, and you can just and you don't need to touch the screen, so your screen stays clean. That's one thing I can't stand, people touching my screens. So this looks pretty interesting.
I'm kind of with you with that.
And pre-order is $69, and after that, I think they're going to be selling them at the big box stores. The big box store, I guess. I don't think there's too many left.
No, not really.
Yeah, but it'll be $79 in the stores. So, and Mac is definitely supporting it. And I haven't heard about whether the other operating systems are going to support it. So this could be very interesting. I would really think that Microsoft would get into this real quick since they have Windows 8. And, you know, that just screams to have, you know, touch controls on your screen. And if you have a legacy system that doesn't have that, this little box could make it easy to just, you know, swoop in front or sweep your hands in front of the screen and control it that way.
So, it is kind of neat.
Yeah. So there's a link in the show notes about Mac support for it.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Yeah. It's so small.
Yeah, it's very small. And they have a video. I'm not going to play the video right now, obviously, because that'll just screw up our bandwidth.
Right. That's tempting fate.
Exactly. But
you've
look
already
at that.
Added somebody to the podcast. I mean,
yeah, the virtual Youper. Oh, you mean when we Yes, we did successfully. Actually, I can admit Skype is working really well.
Don't say that.
It worked really well last week.
Yeah, it was encouraging to bring everything up today and not see Skype say, "We've just updated your programs again." And like,
yeah.
So maybe they actually did fix something.
Yeah.
We've just made an update and screwed you. Have fun.
So, anyway, take a look at that. And we're going to go down to the next topic here.
Before you do that.
Okay. Wait a minute, Michael?
Yeah. I just got a new winter storm update coming through.
Oh.
There's another one coming your way.
Really?
Yeah. When? There are warnings through Minnesota, Northern Plains. Might get more snow here. It's like, all right. But looks like it's coming your way. So you may want to check that after the podcast.
I'll definitely check it. I know the Mid-Atlantic is supposed to get something. Down in D.C. and Baltimore, maybe potentially Philadelphia area. But I think it's going to stay south of us. And if it's following the jet stream is swooping down into the mid-Atlantic right now. So maybe we won't get it. I hope.
Michael, what's the path of the storm you're talking about?
No, it's the same one. I got a advisory here, and it went right to a national map.
So yours isn't coming from the west heading east?
No, it's west heading east. The heavy stuff.
Gary's talking about one that's coming up the coast.
No, this one's west and coming east, but it's following the jet stream, and the jet stream right now is swooping down into the mid-Atlantic.
Oh, okay.
So if it follows the jet stream, it's going to slam into the mid-Atlantic and skirt us. We might get some flurries or some light rain or something, but I don't think we'll get the bulk of the storm.
Okay. Well, sorry for the late breaking news interruption.
That's all right.
That's always appreciated from those of us up here that get affected by things like that.
Yeah, like last Wednesday when all the weather people made this big to-do about the snow, and it's going to be horrible and terrible and everything. And I woke up Wednesday morning and Channel 9 was up at Temple Mountain where two tractor trailers were off the road, trying to get up the hill, and were off the road. And I look outside and it was snowing, and I said, I'm staying home.
Temple Mountain's always like that, though.
Yeah, it's true. But then later on, it stopped snowing and it turned to rain. Now, it did change back into snow, and we did get about 6 inches of snow here. Because I was above 1,200. I sit above 1,200 feet, and they said anything 1,200 feet and above might get more snow than the rest of it. But down at work, all they got mostly was rain.
Everybody were like, what the hell is Barry complaining about?
Yeah, I got heavily teased the next day, but that's all right, because I did have lots of work at home, or work to do at home. I intentionally planned for it, so I was actually working from home, and I had the phone and email, and I was running around chatting with people on the phone, and I actually got more done sitting at home than if I went into work.
I'm not surprised. I've been in the same situation, because everybody at work knows what the snow situation is up here in the Tug Hill Plateau.
Yeah.
And when I call up and say, hey, look, I got out a foot and a half overnight, and I'm not coming in today, and they only got like an inch, they know that, he's screwed. But I'm able, if I have my laptop with me from work, I'm able to log in and can connect to the VPN and work here just like I'm sitting in the office.
Yeah.
And I've done that numerous times, where they've just kind of like passed the phones to me, and I just kind of like took care of everything like I was at work.
Yeah.
So it works out okay.
And I had a bunch of paperwork that was piling up, so I stayed home Wednesday, and I actually plowed through all the paperwork. So, I got in on Thursday, and my boss was going, wow, you got all that done? I said, yeah, it's amazing what happens when you don't get interrupted 15,000 times in a day.
Good thing you don't work for Yahoo. That's kind of, I wouldn't let you do that.
I'm sorry, Mike. What was that? I walked on you.
I said, good thing you don't work for Yahoo. They wouldn't let you do that.
That's what I was just going to bring up.
Uh-huh.
It's like, we're talking about working from home, and good old Marissa said, screw you guys. I want your asses in a chair in the office.
And the people that complained the most about that were the working moms, and their big complaint was, oh, yeah, sure, make us come into work. Meanwhile, you come into work, but you also built a nursery right next to your office for your kid.
So. Yeah, that's a bit of a double standard.
Yeah.
When Marissa first took over Yahoo, I was really kind of hoping that she would kind of like wake up the culture, because Yahoo has a lot of really cool properties that they're just not doing a damn thing with.
Yes.
And a lot of other things that have gone and died on the wayside that were really kind of neat stuff that just were never supported.
Right.
So Yahoo has like an incredible amount of potential, but nobody has really been able to wake that up and do something with it. And I was kind of hoping that maybe, a former Googler would have been able to, have a different perspective and be able to not so much make Yahoo a little Google, but, kind of bring a bit more a Google-esque sense to them and kind of like get them productive again. Yeah. Because they do have a lot of really neat stuff.
Let me make a side comment here, though. To be fair, I jumped on that, but to be fair, Yahoo's come back and said, we're not trying to make an industry-wide statement here, and this may be exactly what she's trying to do. They have admitted they've got some problem employees doing the work-at-home thing, but the other issue is that you do from time to time have to get everybody back together again to brainstorm. Mm-hmm. I'm a big advocate of working from home. I've done a lot of it over the last 20 years. But you still need the face-to-face meetings to really brainstorm and get things going. And I think she's thinking it's just time to get everybody back to the creative area there and just kind of bounce ideas around face-to-face, person-to-person, and get things going again.
Yep. I agree. And there's, I think there's ways you can do it. Like, I know a lot of businesses that say, okay, you can work 3 days at home, but you got to be in the office at least 2 days out of the week, right. and that way you get the face to face. So, and you can plan your meetings for those days. And actually, that might be more efficient because I'll tell you, I go to work, and Mondays and Tuesdays are nothing but meetings for me, and nothing else gets done. So, and then I have one more meeting on Wednesday morning, and so that means that I can actually get other stuff done. Wednesday afternoon, Thursday on an off Friday, and that's it. And then maybe Friday on the working Friday, I can get some stuff done. But it's just crazy, you know. So sometimes if you can work from home, like I did last Wednesday, I got a lot more done just sitting at home.
Are you in a manager position, Barry?
I'm a tech lead, IPT lead.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I've got a small team that works for me, and so I've got to run around and do schedules. And
yeah, my manager has that same problem.
Yeah,
but I don't have that issue because I'm a senior engineer, and all I do is just play with toys all day.
Ah, yeah, that'd be nice.
When the development team comes up with a new version of the software and they want to know what's wrong with it, they give it to us, and we just kind of like beat it up. And, you know, put it through all its paces and complain about all the things that we don't like about it. And they go back and try to fix those, you know. So I have a much more fun job than you do because I don't really deal with a whole lot of meetings. All I got to do is just make a lot of complaints and bitches, which is kind of fun.
I'm getting pretty good at tap dancing.
So's my boss.
So, yeah, it's what can I say? And this week,
gotta get you a hat and cane.
This week I am doubly booked because my boss is on vacation. He went on a cruise this week, and so I'm him.
Good time to go on a cruise.
Yeah. So not only do I have my normal job, but I'm also the functional manager this week, replacing him. And every time he's gone on vacation before, something has come up that he's never had to deal with. But I had to deal with it. And I kid him about that. I said, have you ever had anybody resign while you were here? He goes, well, no. I said, I have. I've had to deal with that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, well, Barry, I knew it was coming. That's why I dumped it on you.
Exactly.
Have you ever had to deal with the family, what's it called? The family leave thing? And he goes, only once. I said, I've had to do it twice. Thank you very much. So, yeah, it's fun. I really... He can have his job.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he has to deal with all the upper muckety-mucks in the company.
And all I want to do is just play with toys. I just want to run the machines, beat them up, beat up the software. You know, and I have a good time doing that, and I'm good at it. Yeah. They count on me. You know, when something new comes out, they want me to play with it first because they know I will poke every little piece of it that I can find and complain about it.
Yeah.
This doesn't look right. This doesn't work right. You know, I'll complain about every little damn thing. And, you know, the developers don't like to hear it. In a sense, but they do like to hear it because they know that somebody is really looking over their work,
yeah.
You know, and I'll beat the crap out of it because to me, it's fun. You know, like the system test people that I go over and volunteer with, they're like, oh, man, we got to deal with this. I says, no, just step aside. I'll play with it. I'll beat the living crap out of it, and I'll tell you how good or bad it is.
Yeah.
Because I don't care. To me, it's just software and hardware.
Yeah, I enjoy doing that, too. Last year, I was doing that a bit when things started slimming down a little bit. Work was being delayed, and so I was, one of the jobs I was doing last year was integration and test, and or as I like to say it, give it to me, I'll break it.
Well, my old line from when I first joined the Air Force was, I can fix it. And when, at the end of my first duty assignment, when I left and a PCS to my next assignment, they gave me a plaque that said "I can fix it" on it, and you know, because that was my whole thing, because we were back in those days, we were in the punch card era, running a mainframe. I learned that thing inside and out. I was one of the few people that actually sat down when there was quiet time and read the manuals. Read all the Burroughs company information about this mainframe, because to me, it was the biggest toy that somebody was letting me play with. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to know everything I could about it. So I was figuring out ways to make the software run faster on it. And I was complaining about the inefficiencies in the software. And of course, it wasn't developed locally. It was being developed at Gunther Air Force Base. And they were wondering, why is this stupid airman complaining about all this shit? You know, and I was telling him, look, there's inefficiencies in this thing. You can make this go faster, you know. And it was really kind of funny, because I was at a SAC base, and SAC took everything seriously. Mm-hmm. And SAC started asking other bases, well, hey, check this out and see if this makes sense. And yeah, sure enough, other bases were saying, well, yeah, this does make sense. And it was really funny as hell, because the Gunther started making changes to their software based upon my recommendations. And all I was doing was just some dumbass airman just running stuff on a mainframe, you know, and noticing what ran faster and what didn't. But yeah. Hey, that's just my nature. I just love playing with this stuff.
Well,
I made a career out of it, and it's paying well, so hey, I'm not going to complain.
And speaking about playing with new toys, Lockheed Martin flipped the switch on its first GPS-3 satellite. I think it's a prototype, so I'm trying to see. I guess it's on the ground. Is it in the air? I think it's still on the ground.
But, well, how can you do GPS on the ground?
Well, I think they're testing it. Oh, maybe it is in the air. I don't know. It doesn't say here. This is a dumb article. I
thought that they had actually launched a prototype of it, of the satellite up in the air for testing.
Maybe they did. It says the next-gen positioning system just took a big step forward with word that the company has successfully powered up the first production craft of the bunch. Space Vehicle 1. Flicking the switch clears it for testing and keeps the GPS-3 program's 2014 launch window within view. Okay, so that's that's what confuses me. Is it up in the air?
You know what's funny about it? What? It's like the EU is still arguing over their GPS data.
Really?
Yeah, because they don't want to rely on American satellites, because I don't know, maybe they're afraid we're going to turn it off and say, no, you can't access us anymore, and change the encryption on it or something. I don't know. But they're trying to develop their own, and they can't seem to come up with an agreement of exactly what they want it to do.
Wow. I'm flipping back to the previous page, and it doesn't say. Yeah, you know, in Gadget, you don't write very well.
I think that's neat that we're continuing to advance GPS technology, though.
Yeah, you're supposed to be more accurate, obviously more accurate positioning.
Oh, so you won't be driving off any cliffs going around the Grand Canyon.
Right, unless you're using Waze. Because Waze will have you, oh, sure, go follow this road off the cliff, and when you get halfway across the canyon, turn around and go back.
Yes. Oh, okay. That's where I went wrong.
Yeah. So anyway,
being nice, but I almost said insert Apple Maps joke here.
I was thinking the same thing about making a comment about Apple Maps.
Yeah. So anyway, GPS 3 coming to an iPhone or a smartphone or navigation system too soon. Of course, we'll probably have to upgrade everything to see GPS 3, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, I got to check out.
Okay.
Head out. Been fun talking with you. I'm glad I made it this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, good to hear it, Barty.
Hey, Mike, really serious thank you for sharing the Copper Dog 150 link, because I really, really enjoyed the hell out of that website. I love sled dog racing, and being able to see that again, that was just a real big treat for me. So
I'll
thank you again.
Keep checking back in, because they keep updating it.
Okay, I'll keep doing that, because it's one of my big interests. So, hey, guys, all of you, take care, and have a good week, and hope to talk to you next Sunday.
Okay, we'll see you, buddy. Hey. You too.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, Josh, you should be interested in this next topic, Safari. And actually, I experienced this yesterday. Safari is blocking outdated Flash plugins due to security holes.
I haven't run into this yet.
Well, I was on the Music Alley page, searching for music and trying to pick out tonight's guest. I was listening. It was kind of strange too, because I had the thing up, and of course they have a little Flash player right on the website, so you can play the song to see whether you like it or not. And so I was playing a song, and I clicked it off, and then all of a sudden my page refreshed and the player was gone. And I said, that's weird. And so I refreshed again and refreshed again, and nothing. The players all disappeared. And so then I did a search, and I found this little story that basically said that they were blocking it because the older Flash players had an exploit problem. And so Safari was blocking those. So I had to go up to Adobe and update to the latest and greatest Flash player. And then, lo and behold, all of a sudden, all my players came back.
No kidding.
Yeah. So, and then people were complaining about it. And it's like, people, they're trying to protect you and your machines. Jeez. Right.
People will complain about anything.
Oh, they do.
And everything.
It is. It's just amazing.
It's sad.
It really is. So... anyway, so somebody says, who uses Safari anyway?
It's
I use it. And actually, I started, when I got the new computer, I was going to go back to try Google Chrome. And then I read, Google Chrome's only 32-bit on the Mac.
Yep.
And I said, well, Safari's a 64-bit.
64-bit.
So why am I using Chrome? They're both based on the same engine. So you know, I'm still sticking with Safari. And frankly, I like it and it's fast.
Michael, I'm right there with you. It is my default. It's my default browser.
It is mine also.
I like it.
So, yes. So that. So if you're wondering why your Flash isn't working if you're using Safari, that's the reason. Update. And now that brings us to the next one that we're all interested in. Budweiser. There are claims that Anheuser-Busch is watering down Budweiser. I find that hard to believe. And as I put in a comment on one of the beer aficionado groups I belong in, Google Plus, I said, what? They replaced the piss with water?
Exactly. I wouldn't drink a can of Budweiser if it was the last beer on earth.
Yeah, it's like, really? How could they water it down anymore?
Exactly. You know, not to mention, I fall into that. I'm not talking, making it about me, but it's about Budweiser. There is a group of people that I have met more, and the number keeps increasing, that if I drink a can of Budweiser, say, hey, you come over, hang out with a buddy's, hey, you want a beer? It's a Bud. I guarantee you, as sure as God made little green apples, I will have a pounding migraine headache before I get to the bottom of that first can. I don't
know
what the hell's in it. I don't know how the hell they're making it. But I get a pounding headache. And I have met, no word of a lie, in the past 20 years, hundreds of people You know, and this is in passing, not like I'm taking a poll. It's just you're standing at a party and say, hey, we got Bud. Never mind, I'd rather have water. And I go, well, it's a party. It's a cookout. I don't want to have a migraine headache.
The secret.
And I'm running into a lot of people who feel they have the exact same issue.
The secret is Clydesdale hops.
I'll have a Guinness. Thanks very much.
Well, they have the Clydesdales eat the hops, and then they put it into the beer.
Oh.
You know, kind of like those fancy coffees.
Yeah, it's like to say, hops. Yeah.
Recycled hops. Recycled. Filtered.
Yes.
Like the recycled beans.
Right.
Yeah, you know, along the same line, did you see the whole kerfuffle over Maker's Mark?
Well, they just mentioned that here. That it said Maker's Mark abandoned back plans to water down its signature tipple, whatever a tipple is.
Well, here. They were going to go from.
I should know.
Oh, geez, they were going to go from 45% alcohol by volume and water it down to 43% alcohol by volume because the demand was getting so high that they were having trouble delivering. So the son of the founder goes, I think Dad would be proud of me. I've come up with a way of delivering more Maker's Mark.
Yeah, right.
Mine?
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Well,
they backpedaled. But they actually everybody around here, well, I shouldn't say everybody. There are some people here in the harbor that all they drink is Maker's Mark. So they came to buy the last 45% ABV bottles. And there are some 43% ones out there. Now they've backpedaled. So now the 43% ones are the collectibles.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Well, you know, to tell you the truth, I don't think I've ever had Maker's Mark.
Oh, it's delicious. Well, it was before they cut it with water.
Back to what it was again. This was a short late. You know, it's kind of like, you know, Bill Cosby with the new Coke. We've made it better. Like hell you have.
Yeah, really.
Okay, you wrecked it. Maker's Mark and Coke. It's a top shelf whiskey. It's a top shelf bourbon.
Yeah.
And it's delicious. Absolutely phenomenally delicious.
Speaking of which, I happened to be in one of my mayorships the other day. New Hampshire wine and liquor store, and I noticed that they did not have the Red Stag spiced with cinnamon, and I wasn't actually going in there for it because I still have it, but I did notice that they had Red Stag Wild Cherry, and I said
that must be a new one.
I might have to try that.
No, that's been around.
Has it?
Here before the cinnamon?
Huh.
Not around here.
It's actually easier to get here.
Wow.
Really?
Well, I don't think I've ever seen it here. They had the other Red Stag, and I'm trying to think what it is. I can't.
Well, Red Stag,
there's
by
a honey?
Default, is black cherry.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. Black cherry?
It's black cherry.
No, I still think it's the wild cherry I see.
I don't know. I'm going to have to go look again, because I said that might be good. I may have to check that. Oh, it's the honey one that I've seen a lot
of.
Honey,
yeah, honey's all over, too.
The honey, I've seen all over. The cinnamon is the rare one. I actually went on their website.
Right.
Which it actually says it's a specially made, you know, it's not the norm. The Red Stag, which is black cherry whiskey, is the norm. Mm-hmm. Then they have the honey, and then they have the more so rare spiced with cinnamon.
Yeah. Which is great, man. I was, by the way, senseless plug or senseless... needless plug.
Senseless?
It's not senseless. Needless plug here. Political QRM is back, and a new episode was posted last night. So
okay, I get
nice.
Fresh recorded yesterday afternoon with Anne-Marie and Lou, and I was their official board up, and I sat here and manned the board and was sucking down some delicious Red Stag. Cinnamon. And
I made some.
You made some?
Yeah, well, they were sold out. So okay. I bought a bottle of the regular black cherry Red Stag, and mm-hmm. I bought a bottle of Goldschlager cinnamon schnapps. And I cut the two and then put cocoa on top of it. Woo! It tastes good.
Okay.
Well, I like.
And I see my political QRM episode has already downloaded. I just never saw it sneak in there.
Yeah, it snuck in last night. So, yeah, it's and it's Lou is in rare form, but it's been a while since
he's always in rare form.
Yeah, well, he was even more rare form yesterday. It was I was cracking up over here. So he they both had illness problems. Of course, Anne Marie had the flu for like 2.5 weeks, and but Lou does have some medical problems, and. He has good days and bad days, and he had a series of bad days for a while, so that's what happened to political QRM. But they're back. He's looking good, and he's feeling good, and so it's back in I want to say publication, but that's not... I guess it is. I guess
they're back in the groove.
Yeah, so check it out, politicalqrm.com. For that, and yes, I was sitting here and just reading or drinking a Red Stag on the rocks. Oh, that stuff is good by itself.
Oh, I love it on that podcast when Lou will say something and you'll laugh in the background, and oh, I hear the peanut gallery back there. Ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, sometimes I can't help it. So another story that came out this week that Sergey Brin from Google has declared that smartphones are emasculating.
Really?
Yes, he was talking, of course, right, about using his new Google Glass. Talk about emasculating. You know, running around with a goofy thing on your face like that and staring at it every so often, and probably running into things because you're too busy paying attention to what Google Glass is showing you than walking forward.
A tool bag.
So he thinks that sitting there pulling out a smartphone and looking at it is emasculating.
Oh, thanks for coming to work today, Slick. Okay, moving on.
I'd like to have his money, though.
Yeah, welcome to another episode of CEOs Say the Funniest Thing.
Yeah, really. So, anyway, that was a short round. Let's see, what else have we got here? This was a big one that happened this week. Judge invalidates about half of Apple's $1 billion verdict from against Samsung. So I think it's like $450 million she cut it to. This is Judge Koh, Lucy Koh.
Really?
Yes. So the lesson learned...
Well, part of it's been some of the patents that the lawsuit was based on have been invalidated since the judgment was originally made.
Yeah, I don't know.
Now, sorry, the delay is pretty bad tonight. I'm listening over on the virtual Uper, and I can almost hear you guys in real time because I come back to here like, oh, there's the delay. And then I made the mistake of plugging the earphones in from the other feed, and I started talking, forgetting that I was going to hear myself delayed back about a second and a half. I'm like, oh, my God.
That keeps it interesting.
Yeah. So I guess
like I'm singing the national anthem in a football stadium or something.
So I guess we can see, as we've seen, Apple's kind of gone into a slump a little bit now until they come out with something innovative.
I watch.
Yeah, yeah. But so I guess Samsung is also starting to go into that slump now because they always tend to lag behind by about 6 to 12 months from Apple because they basically steal everything from them.
Right, Sam Watch.
Yeah, so anyway, it's kind of interesting that Ubuntu, I've been saying that wrong all these years. I always said Ubuntu. It's actually Ubuntu. Is coming out with a tablet OS, a form of Ubuntu OS for the tablet. It's still new, it's still rough, but it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, we got two new ones coming out. We got the Ubuntu and we got the Firefox OS.
Yes, the Firefox.
There's competition on the horizon there.
Yeah, so, and I don't know anything about the Firefox OS, so anyway, Evernote, I got the update actually yesterday, but I haven't brought up Evernote, but Evernote was hacked. And
yeah, have you changed your password yet?
I have not, but I did get the updates from them, so I have to go in and change it. I'm not too worried about it because, frankly, I don't have anything up on Evernote that I'm worried about.
Mostly recipes for me.
For me, it's like a whole bunch of amateur radio stuff, notes and stuff like that, and my list of my blood pressure readings. So somebody,
there you go.
Oh, and the drugs I'm on. So
no,
because I always keep them.
Evernote's my online recipe box. It works really good for that. Yeah, it's that's like I'm, you know, cooking something, and I've got an iPhone or a computer nearby or an iPad, and it's like, oh, okay, we'll pull that up real quick.
I like Evernote. It's a great app. And because you put something in Evernote and boom, wherever you have Evernote, it's updated automatically.
On any platform.
On any platform. Except at work because they block it.
Really?
Yes. Because they're afraid you're going to put something from work onto Evernote and then they don't have control. So Dropbox, Evernote, all the good things. Drive, Google Drive, they're all blocked. So... Yep. I can see their point.
Okay.
I can see your point. Oh, look, I don't want to say anything, but we do have a bunch of idiots.
No.
Work there. Stop. All I did was drag and drop it into the Dropbox. Is there something wrong with that?
Way to go, genius.
Yeah. So I can't blame them. Can't blame them one bit.
Well, because like I say, pretty much have to make everything not quite idiot proof, because then someone would get offended, but you have to make it so that an 8-year-old child could understand how to use it, and also make it so an 8-year-old child couldn't figure certain other things out.
Yeah.
And pretty much that makes it safe for everybody else, and I run into that at work all the time.
Yeah.
You know, 40 and 50-year-olds walking around. Okay, let me design it for an 8-year-old to work it, and then you stand a 50-50 chance of getting it.
Yes, really. And speaking of those kind of... next week, I didn't have a chance to do it this week, but I'm going to do a review on a new app out for... I think it's a multi-platform, but it's mostly on iOS right now. I think they've... Either they have one for whatchamacallit, or are they going to get it soon?
Android,
that's it. Android. Okay. Oh, BlackBerry, please.
Yeah, rock it on.
Seriously.
Mobile?
But it's called InstaShare.
I've got it.
Do you have it?
Yes, I've got it.
Okay.
I've been playing around with it, and I've got the beta version for my Mac, but I haven't used it enough to do a review on it yet.
And that's my problem. I need to look at it some more, and oh, God, I'm going to end up kind of doing a semi-review now. It's like, it seems really cool at first. Just drag and drop into it, and it can automatically go to wherever you tell it, whichever, you know, all the devices show up that are in you got to be on the same network. I believe. And so all your devices will show up, and you can drag and drop it to any one of those devices, and it goes on there. And I said, this is really cool. And I was all excited about it, except for when I was on my iPhone, and I said, oh, cool. So I can take any file on here and drag and drop it to my desktop if I want, which is really cool, except I don't know how to drag any files from it, because
You need to install the beta version for your desktop.
I have that, but if I'm trying to get something from my phone to the desktop, the only thing that shows up in InstaShare are pictures. Yeah, that's the only thing I can drag and drop are pictures. The music doesn't show up. Any other kind of files don't show up. So you know, basically, oh, I can update pictures, but, you know, my iPhone already does that through the iCloud automatically.
Right.
And it does it to Google Plus automatically. And it does it to Dropbox automatically. So, well, I'm not sure what I need this for. I was thinking other, I could use this for other.
Well, it is supposed to be for other, but let's follow up on this next week, because I'm still playing with it myself.
Because
we're both in the same,
same
thought here.
Tried it out, and I thought this would be excellent, because it will, yeah, I can drag and drop stuff, but yeah. Okay, we'll see. see, there was another one and Josh is sitting there going, oh God, how many more apps did he download this week? Probably about 10 new ones, Josh.
That's what I figured, 10, 12, somewhere in there.
I have Page Once, which is kind of cool. That's like another Mint-type app where you can track your spending and your bank accounts and your credit cards and loans, and it'll pop up and tell you when bills are coming up. And you can even pay your bills through Page Once, which I'm thinking about doing, because one of my biggest complaints about a lot of the websites, when you go onto like a credit card or even your banks to pay loans or a credit card off, you go up there and about every other month they change the website. They're improving it, but you don't know where anything is. You know, because I like to keep track. I like to stay paperless, so I like to get my statements off the website in PDF form, and I'll go on there, and it's like, oh, Christ, they changed it again. Okay, so where do I get a PDF of my statement? Okay, here. 15 minutes later, oh, here it is. Click, download that. Of course, I want to download my actual transactions and everything. Oh, well, where's that located? Looking all over the place. Another 15 minutes later. Oh, click. Now I've got it down into my program. And it's like, just leave them alone, people. Leave it in the same place.
You know? No.
You know, I would much rather, you know, the whole idea of doing it that way is so you can go up. Oh, look, click. I got my bill, my statement downloaded. Click. I've got everything downloaded into my finance program, and click, I made a payment. But no, I have to search for those every freaking time I go up to the website. So stop changing your websites.
No.
It's in the same line of, can't we all just get along?
Oh, it's incredible.
No.
So I'm thinking that I might use this Page Once thing, if it works well, I might use that to at least make payments, because, boy, I mean, it's there. It would be one way to pay all of them, all my bills, and it would work out quite well. So we'll see. But I do recommend Page Once. It's a pretty neat, I like it better than Mint. Matter of fact, I closed out my Mint account for Page One and Page Once. And there's another one. Getting to Zero. I forget what it's called. I'm going to have to go look.
Because you got too many damn apps. That's why. I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud?
I have to try these out. Hey, we do a podcast on technology.
Oh, okay.
I'm using the Leo Laporte reasoning. Let's see. Where was it?
On your phone.
You're not talking about Inbox Zero, are you?
Yeah. No, not Inbox Zero. I have that too. And that works great. Oh. I'm going to do I'll probably do a review on that.
Of course you will.
Let's see. I can't find it. It must be in one of my folders.
Siri, what's another one of my useless apps that I don't use that I downloaded anyway? which one?
I don't know, Barry. You have so many.
Oh, speaking of which, let me plug this in and bring that up. And What's the airspeed velocity of a laden swallow?
Let me think about that. Okay, Barry, here you go.
Oh, it didn't give the normal answer. Let me try it again.
It should have asked you something.
What is the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow?
An African or European swallow?
Yeah, they've got a few answers in there for that. So I read that somewhere, and I had to try that. I thought that was pretty funny. Are you doing it?
Am I doing what?
Oh, I thought you said I'll do it.
I'm looking at trucks.
Okay, what's the windshield wipers were made for this? Oh, I should read this different. Windshield wipers were made for this?
Well, I hope I didn't bring this up on the show. This is one of these things that I've been meaning to add to the notes for a while. But on one of my recent returns back from bringing the ambulance to the hospital, and hence a local resident or visitor on that ambulance, you know, and go and take care of what we have to take care of.
Yep.
One of the locals here in town, from Windsor, Canada, actually, about 3 a.m, it's been snowing heavily for a change. Ha, 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 ha. And, you know, the trees are just completely laden with wet, heavy snow, which is unusual for us. We get a lot of the dry snow because normally it's colder. But so stuff, the snow is just dumping on the road left and right. And they talk about doing the snow cone dodge. Because you get these big clumps of, you know, 10, 20 pounds of snow falling off a tree and whoop, right in the middle of the road. Wow. It's 3 a.m. Finally, my friend who's driving, just driving straight through, you know, whoosh, hit a clump of snow and snow goes everywhere. Well, we're about 5 miles out of town and he sees another clump of snow and he just, you know, he doesn't swerve or anything. And just before we hit it, I like, wait a minute, there's a tree attached. Whoosh, bam!
Oh, nice.
That's a big limb had come down. And, you know, the whole ambulance just kind of jumps. And there are pieces of branches that go flying everywhere. And 2 or 3 of them land on the windshield.
Oh.
So he's got these big chunks of branches. They're not, you know, they're not like tree limbs. They're just smaller branches, but they're just branches all over the living room, or living room, over the windshield.
And jeez.
We look at each other, and he looks down at the dashboard, looks at me again, and he hits the windshield wiper button, and the blades come out, go whoosh, and the branches go everywhere. And it knocked him off the windshield. He's like, it's 3 a.m. I wasn't going to pull over and pull him off the ambulance.
Oh, that's great. Jeez.
This is some robust wiper arms.
Hey, what was that? Was it Lake Michigan or... It must have been Lake Michigan that supposedly a giant ice ball came up on shore or something. Did you hear about that?
Oh, no, I didn't hear about that.
I guess, did they form out in the Great Lakes in certain areas?
Well, we've got ice left and right up here.
Right, right. But this was like a giant ice ball, supposedly, and it came up on shore or got pushed up on shore. And I had never heard about that before, but I could see the Great Lakes do create very weird things, especially in the wintertime. Yeah.
That one I'm not familiar with.
Okay. I'll have to look that one up. I heard it, and I think on the TV, but I never got to see the story. So, did you guys put in this? Who put in the Fox News story?
I did that.
Oh, okay. So, veteran.
First one is a Korean War veteran. He's got about a year to live. He's got congestive heart failure. And one of the requests that he wanted was... before he died, he wanted to walk the decks of the ship that he served on.
Oh, wow.
So this is like, you know, 60 years ago. And they granted his request. So that's... I can't do the story. They, I'm not a big fan of Fox News. They tend to be, you know, all over the place.
Yeah.
But they did a good job on this story.
Did they? Huh.
It follows the gentleman as he goes back on his old ship, and he talks about his old bunk and everything and what he did. And it's a cool story.
Okay.
Very wow. Cool.
Wow. Yep. It's. I'm looking at this story right now. We've got a link in the show notes if you want to. Go ahead and take a look at that. Yeah. So, and then the next story must be yours too.
Yep. Next one's mine. And both of these were added when I got back from picking up my son at 3 a.m. So, sorry I didn't elaborate on them too much. But the other one I had noticed before I saw the story, and is I'm a frequent user of Pandora.
Uh-huh.
And something I have noticed in the last, especially in the last week, was the ads have become very plentiful on the mobile.
Really?
Now, the desktop experience ads were, you know, something you got used to. They were there. Now, they have Pandora One, where you can spend $3.99 a month and not have any ads, which I'm seriously considering. But I've noticed the mobile side, the ads have become pretty plentiful. And basically, Pandora is saying we can't exist under this model that's being thrust upon us for royalties.
There we go.
They're saying that, and actually, you know, when I first got involved with Pandora, the free model was only 35 hours a month.
Hmm.
And then that kind of got relaxed. Now they're saying that for mobile use, once you hit 40 hours in a 1 month period, you need to spend either 99 cents to continue or go up to Pandora One.
And 99 cents isn't a bad price.
No, it's not. No, it's not. And as I said, it used to be 35 hours.
Hmm.
So the 40-hour limit. But there was definitely a distinction over the last couple of years. If you were on the desktop experience, you got ads all over the place.
Hmm.
And the mobile was relatively ad-free, unless it detected that you were doing something that caused you to look at the phone. Then an ad would pop up right then and there. But otherwise, it left you alone because generally you're driving and listening to it.
Right, yeah.
And it has gotten to be enough of a distraction to me that I'm planning on going to the Pandora One plan because I do use it a lot.
Hmm. Yeah. There are a lot of different ones out there, too. But what's the Pandora One plan cost, did you say?
It's $3.99 a month or $35 a year.
Well, that's pretty cheap.
It is, actually. And, you know, it's as far as I'm concerned, it's still one of the best systems out there. I've listened to most of them, but for what I like to do, Pandora really generally fits what I want, you know, the type of listening I like to listen to.
Okay.
The formula hits me pretty well.
Good. Yeah. Well, they were one of the first ones out there, so it's, I know, and it definitely is rising royalty costs because unlike radio, they get hit with higher royalty fees than regular radio, which is unfair because it doesn't
make any sense at all.
No, except that they don't want streaming on the internet. And it's like, wake up, people. This is the new model. This is the way we're going to get entertainment now, or any our news, right, information, everything. It's going to be streaming off the internet. It's the new norm. You know, over the air stuff is, if you're going to get something over the air, it's going to be via Wi-Fi or the mobile data network, right? It's, you know, the analog signals are going for good. This is the way we get stuff now. So wake up, figure it out. This is what people are listening to.
Okay.
So, I mean, even in the car, I mean, even if you use one of the radio program ones, because frankly, if you like listen to talk radio, a lot of talk radio is still on the AM dial, and it sounds like shit in your car, especially.
Yeah, but they're moving over to the FM dial now.
Slowly but surely. But you know what's interesting? If you go and get like iHeartRadio or one of those services, which by the way
is TuneIn,
that's the one I use, which is free.
Yep.
That AM station sounds awesome, like an FM station, or even better than an FM station, because every radio station streams. Yeah, exactly. So that's what I'm saying. That is the future. Over the air is going to disappear soon.
Right.
I don't know.
A good friend of mine used to own a couple of radio stations. He's retired now, but he still belongs to NAB and a lot of the forums out there. And a couple of months ago, he goes, "Hey, there's this bill out there, and they're planning and requiring all smartphones and devices to have an FM chip in it. Isn't that great?" And I said, "It's a piece of shit."
Yeah, really.
And he's a good friend of mine. He's like, "What? You don't mean that?" I said, "Of course I mean that." I said, "If you're going to put chips like that in there, make it by consumer demand. Don't legislate it, because from a technical standpoint, I really think it's a piece of shit. It's a steaming pile of...
Why do I need an FM chip in there? It's taking up a space that something else could go there when I can get all the radio stations streaming from
right.
TuneIn or iHeartRadio."
Right, and it's adding cost to the device.
Yeah.
And I explained that, and he said, "Well, it's okay." And he went off, and he went back to his forums, and he said, "You know, I put your thought out there, and every engineer on the forum came back and said, he's right. We don't want this damn shit. You know, if it's going to be out there, don't legislate it. If you think there's a commercial use for it, let the consumer decide." And like, you know, Nokia's been out there including FM chips in almost all of their smart devices for years.
My HTC Incredible has one in it.
And it's great if the manufacturer puts it in there because they think that their particular user group is going to want it. That I'm all in favor of.
But yeah.
Don't legislate it.
Right, exactly. And I guess if I were a... if I owned or managed a radio station out there today, I would seriously put some effort into your streaming, your streaming effort, because that's where the future is, and you're going to be making more money off of that soon than you are across. I mean, let's put it this way: whatchamacallit? Oh God, I just had a brain fart. The guys that do the polls, the ratings,
Gallup,
not Gallup, the ones for TV and stuff. I can't think of
Nielsen.
That. Nielsen is now including streaming
right
results for their
right
for the ratings, because more and more people are doing it.
Well, one of the projects I'm involved in, which got me, I mean, this person I'm talking about is a good friend of mine anyhow, but we've been meeting on a business standpoint for the last couple of months, because we're seriously thinking about starting up the equivalent of K-Bear, you know, if you're a Northern Exposure fan.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
Copper Harbor, we're planning, so we're planning on starting up our own station here in the harbor. And we've looked into the licensing requirements, and again, my friend... own stations. He knows exactly what's going on. He still has returnees on a retainer, and we're going into it. And he's like, "Well, we can do this. We can do that." And I'm like, "Okay, now who's actually going to be owning the license?"
Right.
We're back and forth, and I finally said, "You know, I'm still in favor of looking into this." I said, "But I'm really starting to lean towards doing a stream from the harbor and doing a mesh network so that everybody in the harbor and on the trails can tune into our own mesh network." And he's like, "Okay, isn't this going to be complicated?" I said, "Yeah, it's going to be complicated. I don't think it's been done like this before." I said, "But there's a huge advantage here." And I went down the list of who I thought the on-air talent would be available. Mm-hmm. And he's listening to the list, and he goes, "Yeah, these people would be available." I said, "Now, who on this list is actually going to follow the guidelines that the FCC will accept?"
Right.
And he's like, "Oh, you've got a point there." I said, "We do it streaming. We do it over the internet. We do a local mesh. We don't have this FCC requirement issue, and I don't have to worry about my on-air talent going into a tangent." Now, right. We're still talking about setting up a station. I've got a backer who's actually looking at building one, or buying one of the buildings here in town that's got a big glass front that's been abandoned for years.
Yeah.
And it actually looks like K-Bear.
Really?
So it'd be the full studio and everything else, and it fits, because we would be broadcasting via stream, and everybody comes to town for the trails and everything. They've all got iPhones and Androids and smart devices, so they'll be able to be Wi-Fi enabled. And once we eventually get 3G here, they could get the stream through 3G if they want.
Right.
But then we don't have these regulations we got to worry about.
And audio's cheap. Audio is not.
Bandwidth is low. Yeah,
it's very low for a decent sound. And matter of fact, geez, well, you've both been in here. I've got a freaking station right here.
Yes, you do.
If all I would need to do is dedicate one of these PCs, put the scheduling software. By the way, you can get free scheduling software, open source software to schedule a radio station. Put that on. Get some programming. Oh, by the way, podcasts make excellent programs. Mm-hmm. If you can get permission from them, start streaming it 24/7. The only thing I'm lacking is I don't know whether I have enough bandwidth for the upload. I probably do. I probably could get away with it, but I would probably have to put another line in here dedicated to...
Second DSL line.
Yes.
Second DSL line.
A second DSL line to dedicate that to. But I could do that real easy here. I mean, the QRM network could very easily become a reality.
The galactic headquarters of QRM Studios.
Yes. Now you're making me think, Michael. Stop making me think, Michael. I don't have time for all these things. That would be fun, though. But, and you could probably make some money on it selling advertising.
Yes.
Yes.
Michael, I think you have an excellent idea, especially for Copper Harbor.
I'm working on it.
That would be perfect.
It does get a little complicated for the mesh because we've got, you know, many, many, many square miles I would have to cover.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking solar and wind-powered repeaters again. But I think I can make this happen. And if I can make this happen, I think it's a marketable idea for, oh, should we be talking about this? Yeah. If somebody else could do it, I'd buy it. So I think it's a marketable idea for remote areas.
Yeah.
Lots of resorts out there could use it.
Yeah, and you don't have to worry about getting a license for like a low power license, which goes, you know, maybe, you know, 100 feet from your station. And
oh, and this is two way too, because if you're using the mesh network, they can text you.
That's true.
They can text back to the studio and say, "Hey, would you play that song?" Or, "Hey, could you have my friends meet me at trail such and such?"
Yeah,
or,
you do what No Agenda does. You have the chat rooms.
Exactly, but it's live on the show.
Yeah.
Right.
So as the DJ's going, DJ goes, "Oh, by the way, John up on trail 4, your friends are down at the bar. They're telling you to get your butt down here."
His name is Chris, and you just like Chris at K-Bear going, "And Miss Emily Johnson says she found a trash can lid in her backyard. So if you happen to be missing one."
Excellent.
Yeah, our Chris would be Gordy. And you guys ever come to town?
Yeah,
you'll understand. 40. Yep.
That would be excellent. That would be a fun thing to do. We could do that in the Monadnock region too.
Yes, you could.
Real easy because
I am actively working on it.
We are hurting here, so. But it would take. That would be a full time job. I said that would be a full time job. You would have to get somebody that has time to put into it, you know. Sure, you could keep the programming going 24/7 with the computer program, but you got to keep feeding that program.
Exactly. It's enough a nice retirement job.
Yeah. You guys are making me think.
Well, as I said, I'm working on it.
Yeah. The day. Keep us posted on that. That's really interesting. So...
this is an ongoing project. I've got volunteers for on-air talent or on-stream talent, and I've actually got financial backers who are interested in seeing this happen. So,
have you thought about using one of the streaming services online? Or would you just run your own server?
I've thought about it, but we have a rather unique problem here. But our problem is not unlike other resorts, and that is our problem is the backhaul in and out of the area.
Hmm.
So, yeah, once we get to the point where we could send a stream out to like a three, you know, something where they could get it through 3G, that'll be fine once we actually have cell coverage here. But otherwise, the server can be here and we can stream it out locally in Wi-Fi without having to go over the backhaul. And then... you know, so it's all sourcing here. Yeah. It's easy to send a large amount of bandwidth locally.
Yeah.
It's difficult to send it over great distances back.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm up against right now.
Okay.
And I think I have a solution.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, keep us informed. This will be interesting to listen to the progress on this. So, cooking bread by the meh method?
Meh. Meh. Yeah, well, my neighbor up here, a good friend of mine, his sister moved this winter, and she decided not to take her bread maker with her. And as you guys know, I've had a lot more local time in my hands, and I love to cook, but I haven't had a lot of time to cook recently, at least until this last fall. So I have been cooking meals. Last Sunday, as you know, I did the full turkey dinner.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
the post blizzard full turkey dinner. But after Christmas, I've started cooking bread, which is a new experience for me, and kind of threw things together. And first couple batches of May turned out really good, but as I'm doing this, like, well, consistency. How do I? Yeah, you know. I've been cooking by meh. It's like I just kind of shovel this much of flour into it, and like, that looks about right. And I cook. So then I made the mistake of reading and how you're supposed to measure it.
Yeah.
And I'm doing the spoon into the thing and leveling it off with the knife. And all of a sudden, all my bread starts turning out like crap.
My really?
Still tasting. But it was, you know, it had holes in it. Stuff was inconsistent. Well, this is a service industry town, and I've got some good friends who are chefs. So I finally walked up to them. I said, I have to start cooking bread. And they're like, oh, we know where this is going. Like, well, what? And they said, there's two ways to cook bread. You either have the knack to look at it and go, meh, that's the right amount of flour, or you weigh it. He said, there is no measuring because flour is too inconsistent. If you know what the formula amount is that you need and you can weigh it, you'll be consistent each time. Or if you can look at it and go, meh, that's about right. If you can do that, you're good. So I went back to going, meh, it's turned out perfect every time.
There you go.
I do plan on buying a scale, but I don't have one yet. I know it's not in the budget. But I'd like to, you know, do that, meh, and then weigh it so I know what it is so I can tell other people.
Yeah.
But I've always been a cook by just dumping stuff in type person. I've never really been big on measuring right to the teaspoon or quarter teaspoon or eighth teaspoon, whatever.
Close enough.
But, you know, with two teenagers, I've been cooking a loaf of bread almost every day.
Wow. Yeah.
And going through a loaf of bread every day.
Yes. Well, that's why I'm cooking one every
day. Yes.
And I'm having fun doing it.
Yeah.
The bread maker makes it a lot easier. Eventually, I think I'd like to get into just using it to knead it, and then, you know, I'll use my own forms. But
that's
what, having a lot of fun.
Yeah, Anne-Marie, we have one of those bread makers, and every once in a while she'll throw it in and just turn it on, and we'll get one made from that, and that's nice. But she also has we have a big mixer with the beater bar and everything, so she can she'll make her own, and she's got molds and stuff, and I'll tell you, it is good bread. She knows how to make bread, and I think she uses the meh method too.
I think it's the only way to do it, because you look at the dough and like, it either needs more water or it needs more flour. You can if you can tell the consistency, then you're good.
Yeah, but it's always good. I always opt for her bread over anything store bought any day.
And yes, I have a big KitchenAid mixer. That was one of the first things I bought.
Yeah, that's what we have.
I come from a line of French chefs, by the way.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So, yes, nothing like good baked bread. I just got over the fact that I can actually stand the smell of fresh baked bread now. It's only been 30-some years, but one of my summer jobs when I was in college was working at the Stroman Bread Bakery.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, where you constantly smell Stroman, or, you know, bread, and I got sick of it. You know, working many, many hours in there. And of course, the little secret that I learned while working there was we would bake Stroman bread, and it would come through, and everything was mechanized, and it goes, you know, follows this whole little conveyor belt, and from into the oven, out, loops a couple times around the bakery for cool down, and then it comes in and goes through a slicer, and then it goes into the plastic bags, and Twist Tide, and there's your Storm and Bread. What I didn't know was, you know how you go to the grocery store and you have all the brand names, Storm and Bread, Wonder Bread, well, maybe not Wonder Bread anymore, but and all that. And then you had the store brand bread, right? Which was always cheaper.
Yep.
And you wonder, what's the difference between the two? You know, why is this one cheaper? And what's the difference between this and Stroman bread? Well, I can tell you that the difference is absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
Because guess who bakes the store brand bread? At least in the Philadelphia area, Stroman bread did. And we would say, you know, it would come down and all of a sudden the conveyor belt would stop for a minute. And that meant change the bags. And you took the Stroman bread bags off and you put the, I think it was it Martin's? No, Clemens. Clemens.
Oh, Clemens.
Clemens.
All right.
Clemens Markets bags in, start the chain back up, and same bread, cheaper price. Mm. So, and I found out how they slice hot dog rolls and keep them all together. So,
bandsaw.
Yeah, they cut them from both sides. So, but yep, that was an interesting job that I had for a summer, and I never want to do that again. But it was interesting. Okay. Only my cats noticed.
Well, yeah. Last weekend I made a change in preparation for spring, and it was interesting because I walked in to, I told you, you know, we all kind of meet up at the general store at 10 in the morning, winter hours there to have our coffee and plan our days, and the whole group's there talking, and somebody made a comment. It was kind of interesting because of the timing, but somebody made a comment about somebody shaving their beard off, and like, oh yeah, Cripe, yeah, well, just, yeah, we never noticed what he looked like without a beard, and I had shaved mine off that morning. Nobody noticed. I went through 2 days that nobody made any comment, except when I had grown my... I haven't had a beard for like 7 years because of the EMS work.
Right.
And once I grew my beard, the cats in the house would come up and rub their face against my face because, oh, he's got fur now. And they come up and, they, you know, and just bury their face in my beard and go back and forth. They were very, very upset. They were the only ones that noticed. They came like, what's going on?
What the heck?
Oh, that says everything, doesn't it? Even your kids didn't notice? Hello?
I don't know if he's still there.
Michael? Did we lose Michael?
I think we may have.
Oh, no. You're kidding me.
That'd be a bummer.
Can you steer him?
Oh.
Now you can. Now he can.
You disappeared.
You know, the virtual Uber has been solid, but my main connection here is reset 4 times during the show tonight.
Wow. Huh. It's because you're running 2 feeds out of your limited.
Oh, but the other feed's on another router on another bandwidth, although it's on the same client.
Yeah.
But I'm actually this is the higher priority, and it's getting reset.
Hmm.
Wow. I have to look into that. Yeah. I'll complain to the administrator.
So what I asked was, did your kids notice?
No. My wife didn't either.
Oh, gosh. Oh, that's too
much. Well, they were so used to seeing me without a beard that when when I finally shaved it off, it was just back to normal, I guess. Yeah.
So it's almost have your tractor pulled apart?
Yeah, after several years of being without it, I've been trying to coordinate, because this is a big job. I got to break the thing in half, and it's more than I want to do by myself. Just the logistics of once it's time to pull it apart. And I've been trying to coordinate with a friend of mine in town who was also mechanically inclined, and just getting our schedules together this winter. But with this last blizzard, that was the last straw. When I was using my neighbor's tractor, it's like, oh yeah, this is what it feels like to actually have a piece of implementation that can take care of this stuff again.
Wow.
Our tractor had been incredibly reliable for almost 20 years, so it was long overdue to get this fixed. And I talked to my friend, and he said, yep, I'll be over there Tuesday morning, 9 o'clock. And sure enough, he was here at 9 o'clock, and we started digging into it. And I have the full manuals for this, which makes it helpful. But it is a hydrostatic four-wheel drive tractor. So when you break it in the middle, there's all kinds of hard lines of, you know, for the hydraulic pump that's up front to break apart and drain and all the linkage. Speaking of a pickle fork, I don't have one small enough for the linkage on this tractor. So we had some fun. I found some chunks of lead that I could put on the end of the studs and hammer with a sledgehammer without breaking, you know, without damaging the stud.
Right.
Got things popped apart. There was a good 6-7 hours of work getting everything out of the way. We're down to taking almost all of the bolts out of the bell housing. There's just 4 left. But I went back to the manual and noticed that the drive shaft that goes from the rear to the front for the four-wheel drive, the splines are not expandable. So I dug into it and found out that it actually has a roller pin in there through this, from the yoke through the spline and out, that I'm going to have to pound out yet. I can drop the drive shaft. And then it allows you to kind of shift it forward and back off the splines and drop the drive shaft. But I'm down to maybe an hour's worth of work, and I can finally split this thing in half and see whether I have a minor problem or a major problem. Because it starts, I start it every month, hit the glow plugs. First time I turn the key, it starts. The hydraulic pump's working fine. I can lift the bucket up and down. As a matter of fact, that's how I had driven it home from a friend who had borrowed it and noticed that a cotter pin and one of the big pins that hold the front end loader on, if you don't keep them greased properly, as it rotates, it'll actually shear the cotter pin off. That's kind of the indicator that they need grease.
Right.
So I said, well, okay, pulled it around behind the garage, got the grease gun out, greased the pins, put a new cotter pin in, started it back up, let the clutch out, and it made all kinds of noise, but it didn't move anymore. Now, it's still got the original clutch. I'm hoping the pressure plate just went. But the engine runs fine. The hydraulic pump runs good. I can raise and lower the bucket. I can drop the bucket, tilt it, and drag it. I can move it by moving the bucket around. But the hydrostatics that, you know, actually run the four-wheel drive are not running, and the PTO's not running. And I know it's in the bell housing. I just don't know if it's the clutch or if I've got a driveline problem in there. But it's finally time. This is I think this is the fourth winter it's been down, and I miss it there. I miss it terribly, but it's been one of those priorities I got to get to, but not the highest priority.
Right.
And we kept the roads cleared around here for over 10 years, so my neighbors have taken over the duty, which I appreciate, but it's time for me to start pulling my own slack again. Own slack, my own weight. I'm getting tired, guys. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It is getting time. We've been going at this for almost 2 hours now, and if you count the pre-roll, it'll be way over 2 hours. Of course,
that'll be 12 minutes and 52 seconds.
That'll be edited. Yes.
Virtual Ebert.
Yep. That'll be edited down. So, okay, we do have musical guest. This week, it's Ryan Lovett, and his song, his cover, Wicked Mena Style, and it's actually a YouTube. I used Wiretap to get the audio off of it, because the lyrics are good, but if you want to check out the YouTube video, go ahead and just do a search for Wicked Mena Style, Maine spelled MAINAH, and it's pretty good. It's, well, you can guess what it's a parody of, but so we'll be listening to the audio track for that in a couple minutes. But we'll say first thanks to all the military guys out there doing their job, both CONUS and OCONUS. Thank you. Stay safe, and hopefully we're going to get you back home here real soon so you can be with your family and friends. And with that, I think that's it for number 84. So from the southwest corner, I am Barry of New Hampshire. From the southwest corner of everywhere of New Hampshire, I'm Barry J.
From the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Josh.
From the beautiful suburbs of Copper Harbor, I'm Michael the Virtual Uper.
And thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week. Here's Ryan Lovett.
Wicked Maine style. Maine style. We come from the northeast, trees and mountains all around here. We are from Canada, we are the state next to New Hampshire. We are always outdoors, camping, fishing, shooting deer. Come and join us, sit, have a beer. Carhartt is what I wear. Warm or cold, it doesn't matter, I don't really care. I put my work boots on when I am going anywhere. If it starts to get a little chilly, I don't really care. Just grow my facial hair. You like fishing and going hunting, then come to Maine. Yeah, come to Maine. If you like oysters and no construction, then come to Maine. Yeah, visit Maine. Heading up to camp, you can't get there from here. Wicked Maine style. Maine style. Whoop. Wicked Maine style. Maine style. Wicked Maine style. Hey, tasty lobster. Wicked Maine style. Hey, tasty lobster. Going to the mud runs, we don't need no fancy cars. We got our big old trucks, that's all we need to have our fun. Gravel pits and quarries are where we choose to party. Get it, got it, good, wicked, awesome. I put my camo on, even though I'm not military. Good luck finding me. I'm the greatest hunter in all of Maine, hiding behind them trees. We're crashing on the shore of OOB. It's all carefree. All you assholes driving crazy, you're insane. Get out of Maine and Bob Marley. You would get funny, fortune and fame. Make it rain, lightning can time. You know we are going all the way. Wicked Maine style. Maine style. Wicked Maine style. Maine style. Hey, tasty lobster. Wicked Maine style. Hey, tasty lobster. Maine born, native Maine born. Baby, baby, native born. I'm Maine born. Rednecks were born. Yeah, my hands are warm. Baby, baby, Maine born. Yeah, it's true. Do you hear what I'm saying? Wicked Maine style. Hey, tasty lobster. Wicked Maine style. Hey, tasty lobster. Wicked Maine style.
Samson, speak. Good boy.